because somebody has to say these things.
Hedgecock. I want
it now. The third annual Freddie Mac Multi-Market, Multi-Indicator Market Index, or the MIMI, which is sizing up home buying activity and the health, basically, of the housing market, found that only 10 states out of 57, or 50, depending on which way you're counting, 10 states and the District of Columbia fall into the, quote, stable range, as do only four of the 50 metropolitan areas. Now get this, the four are San Antonio, New Orleans, Austin, and Houston. Three of the four in Texas. Home buying activity. The rest of the housing market, it says, looks bleak. Quote, less than half the housing markets MIMI covers are showing an improving trend, whereas at this time last year, more than 90% of these markets were headed in the right direction. What's happened to the housing market and the big recovery? Part of that that's been in MarketWatch.com talked about is the 10 most unequal housing markets in America. Unequal. What does that mean? Well, the number of the markets where the priciest 1% of homes are up more than any place else. One of those places, I'm not going to surprise you, is San Diego, but San Francisco's number one. L.A.'s number two, Orange County, California's number three, San Jose, California's number four. So out of the top 10 most expensive luxury markets in 2014, out of the top 10 income inequality, wealth inequality concentrations in this country, the top four are in California, and three of those four are run by Democrats. Followed by Miami and West Palm Beach, also run by Democrats. Followed by San Diego, not. Ventura, California. So of the top 10, six of the top 10 are in California. Because, of course, we don't build houses here. Houses get, and existing homeowners love it. Decrease the supply, increase the demand, and the house, my price of my house goes up. What's not to like about that? Well, unless you're a first-time home buyer, of course. Unless you have kids trying to buy houses, etc. Now, this is by way of introduction to the fact that I rely on an expert here in terms of mortgage rates and the mortgage market and the real estate market and what's going on in it. And that's Mehran Aram of the Aramco Group, who joins us on the Newsline. Hi, Mehran.
Hello, Roger. Good to be back with you. It just isn't fair, is it?
It's not fair. I thought we just had a boom going, and suddenly it looks like it's stalled out. What's going on?
Well, you know, that is what it's looking like. It looks like a very, very uneven data, uneven housing market. Freddie Mac's report also went on to say 13 of 50 states plus the District of Columbia are improving based on the three-month trend, so close to that 10 that you were talking about for a slightly different thing. So the bottom line is, you know, it's not looking very even, but at the same time, you know, talk about unfairness. Luxury home sales are skyrocketing and are on pace to beat last year's numbers, with number three being Orange County, number two LA, number one San Francisco. Another stat I think you were kind of alluding to that is San Diego is like the second least affordable place to live. So it seems like places such as California, certainly Southern California, are red hot, whereas the rest of the country is so-so. It looks kind of mixed right now.
And you know what's interesting about that, too, is that places that are having great job growth and that rely on the private market to build housing commensurate with that growth, talk about North Dakota, talk about Texas, they're not only booming, there's affordable housing and great paying jobs.
Yes, that's very, very true. So the reality is this Obama recovery, if you want to call it, is maybe not what it's all cracked up to be, and it, you know, things aren't really that solid. And the good thing is, again, places like California are doing well. And there's always a silver lining in everything, because when the economic data, which overall, even setting housing aside, has been mixed, now throw into it today's report, and the bond market rallied today, and bond yields and mortgage rates have gone to the lowest level since November of 2013. And you got to remember, this is in light of the fact that investors fully expected, the government fully expected interest rates to be much, much higher by now. So if there is a silver lining in this, the fact that it's kept mortgage rates lower, the lowest they have been all year, the lowest they have been since November, with conforming 0.30-year fixed rates averaging 4 1/8 and 15-year 3 1/8. So I guess there is some good news there.
Well, now, and despite that, that is good news, that interest rates continue to be low, and very, very attractive historically to people who are going to buy a house and finance it. The problem is that the applications for those mortgages are going down.
Yeah, well, generally, because when you look at the whole country, like we talked about the other stats, the whole country is not doing that great, and that's exactly why mortgage applications generally have been down, and the average number of applications for the week ending May 23rd dropped 1.2%. Purchase applications even fell 2%, and that is despite the fact that this is the heat of the home buying season, or it's starting again. In areas such as Southern California, the market is red hot, and when our real estate department lists a home, it's sold sometimes in one day, and buyers whom we're helping are having a hard time, not enough inventory. But again, that's not the story throughout the country.
It's interesting. That's very interesting, because you look throughout the country, your new single-family home sales are a little bit up, your existing home sales are a little bit up, even though these prices have leveled off. It doesn't look like it's the boom that it was a couple of months ago, promised anyway, but people are still out there buying, and as well they should be. I mean, in this interest rate environment, it can't last forever.
No, it can't, and the thing is, we should not be comfortable. We're very delighted, of course, those of us in the industry especially, or those home buyers or homeowners, that it stayed long, you know, low this long, but you can't get comfortable with it. You know, towards the end of this year, the Fed's bond buying program will come to an end. Fortunately, they did very gradually, so there has not been a huge shock to the market, but it will come to an end. The economic data, everything at some point is going to return, and there's an election coming. So to think that this is going to last for many, many, many years is way too much wishful thinking. And in fact, even at today's levels, they're still almost 1% higher than their all-time lows. So this is a dip, and I would say it's a buying opportunity for those who want to buy a home, even if the price is not exactly where you want it to be. Remember, if the rate is 1% higher down the line, it's the same as if you bought the home for, well, it depends on what you're buying, maybe $50,000 more. So what you're talking about is affordability as far as monthly mortgage payments too. So this is a buying opportunity and also an opportunity to refinance.
Mehran Aram with us now from Aramco. Mehran, you and I were at one of your, you were giving your seminar on reverse mortgages. And we always ask for questions because we want people to clarify what area they want you to cover. And the whole idea of the reverse mortgage, defining the retirement that you want by tapping into the equity of your home. And so I kept this card that I got from a question that I thought was the all-time question ever asked on one of these seminars. And I have the card in front of me. A guy listens to the entire seminar, gets all this information, and here's his question. Quote, what happens if I do something terrible to my wife and she wants to kick me out? Does the reverse mortgage prevent her from kicking me out of the house? This is the all-time question.
I absolutely loved it. In 22 years, I never had a question like that. I think I answered it well, but I will say that no, it will not, because if she can hit you hard enough, you're out of that home. But as far as legally is concerned, legally, you know, nobody can kick you out of the home, you know, unless you're separated, divorced, or whatever. You can live in the home for the rest of your life. When one spouse passes away, the other can continue to live in the home with no mortgage payments. But that was a classic.
That was a classic. Now, I'm afraid, and I think a lot of people who are following this reverse mortgage thing are afraid, that the government is going to screw this up like they do so many other things, and take a program that's been working very well for seniors, for people 62 and older, by putting out more and more and more restrictions. They're coming down the line, aren't they?
Absolutely. If you ever thought maybe you should be afraid of the government, you're 100% wrong, right? Because they've been doing it every 6 months. They're going to do it again right now. As it stands, we don't need to look at your credit scores. We don't need to look at your income. We don't need to look at What is your debt-to-income ratio? How good is your credit? And all of that financial assessment that they're talking about, there is none of that right now. But that's coming days or weeks away when they're going to finally announce it. They said late spring, early summer is we're going to, they're going to announce it. So it's going to get a lot tougher, and then they're going to set aside tens of thousands of dollars for property taxes and insurance, so folks will get less cash. Some people may not qualify at all. So absolutely, these are the good old days, and they're going to change. The trend has not been our friend. They've been making it tighter and tighter as far as this product is concerned.
Yeah, and I don't get it. I mean, the house is the security plus the insurance you buy for the security for the reverse mortgage being eventually paid off with interest, and the it doesn't matter what your purchasing power or your income is at all, because it's the home that counts, and you don't have to make payments because those payments are folded in, and the house itself pays those off when the last surviving spouse passes away, right?
That's right. And, you know, Roger, something I've never said on the air before, but, you know, we've talked a lot. You've talked about the 99ers and a lot of these handout programs, you know, that basically to buy votes. And there's no collateral behind those. When you hand out money to someone for 2 years, there's no collateral for the government, okay, for the taxpayer. Here, we have solid collateral, on average 50% equity, and they're making it tougher and tougher and tougher for seniors. So if the fund is short, to me, the government should cover it, taxpayers should cover it, because our seniors are the ones who've earned it, whereas those who haven't earned the handouts, you know, are getting it, and there is no collateral. So it absolutely makes no sense. I understand why they did it and all that stuff. We have no time to get into it, but I will say they shouldn't be doing it and doing it this way to seniors. That's my argument on that.
Okay, well, as long as I don't get kicked out of my house if I irritate my wife, I'm in good shape. What's the what's the phone number for people to get more information? Because we've touched on a lot of issues that people are scratching their head going, wow, I wish I could understand that better. You can, of course, by calling Mehran, who'll be happy to explain it to you. Mehran, what's that number?
Absolutely. It's 1-800-710-2726, or our website at aramco.biz, aramco.biz.
Mehran, thanks very much. Always a pleasure. Appreciate you being on.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Roger.